Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Guess what? If you work at Boston Beer Company, you can tell anyone, a colleague, a manager, your boss, the company founder, anyone, you can tell that person to go bleep yourself. Bleep yourself. I mean, seriously, you can. But why? Well, the answer is in Jim Cook's new book. It's called Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Cook is founder of Boston Beer Company. He brought Sam Adams Boston Lager to the world in 1984. Today, that company is valued at more than $2 billion, with net revenue last year topping $950 million. That's a lot of Sam Adams. Jim Cook joins us now in the studio. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to
is
have
it
you.
All right if I, it's Friday, right?
Well, I was going to say, the sun is over the yardarm somewhere, so why not? You've got one, two, three, four, five different kinds of Boston Beer Company beer here. So,
and I hate to drink alone.
I hate to drink at work. But hang on for a second, because I want to tell listeners that we've got Jim Cook here live in our studio, and we want to hear from you. Do you have questions for him? He is the founder of Boston Beer Company. He's the world's largest, or America's largest creator of craft beer. He's been in this business for decades now. Do you have questions for him about craft beer, about business, about life, about lessons that he's learned at the head of Boston Beer Company? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Jim, can I first of all start by having you tell us a little bit more about the story that I introduced us with? You can really, anyone at Boston Beer Company can tell someone to go bleep themselves?
People are actually encouraged.
Encouraged?
To do that. It's part of our values. We call it the FU rule, though we use the non-deleted expletive. there's actually some real substance to that, because it's a way of telling people that we encourage you to speak, you know, what's on your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, in most business contexts, people, you know, really filter and constrain what they say. So you've always got these situations where there's kind of, you know, the left side of the page, which is what you're thinking and feeling, and then the right side of the page, which is what's coming out your mouth, and they're different. And to the extent that people aren't being open and direct about what they're thinking and feeling, necessary information gets filtered out.
Yeah.
And if you think about, you know, particularly as a company grows, you have this organizational structure where there's people who are closest to reality, to customers, competitors, you know, distributors. And then you have people making decisions who are often removed from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are not encouraged to be open and honest about what they're seeing, mistakes that management may be making, you know, then stupid things get perpetuated.
Yeah. So did this sort of organizational philosophy or management technique, did it come out of any direct experience that you had, in the early days of the Boston Beer Company?
It came out of a bunch of experiences. In Quench Your Own Thirst, I actually write about one of them, and it was an Outward Bound instructor before I even started a business career, and it had a situation where the course director made a really bad decision, almost killed a couple of people, and I was new, it was my first course. I didn't speak up because he was the course director. I thought he knew what he was doing. And in retrospect, I thought, wait a minute, he almost killed those people. And I didn't say anything.
Wow.
So I resolved that I would always encourage people to speak up, to say what they saw, what was on their mind. And the way to do that is the extreme thing of saying, at Boston Beer, it's okay to say F you to anybody if that's the way you really feel. Now, it does come with the responsibility to recognize that F you is an emotive statement with no real substantive content.
And so you have to get to the substance.
Yeah, you got to say what you meant by that and why, what the other person did to put you in that special F you frame of mind.
So, you know, in the book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two, you write about how it seems as if you've learned more about how to do business the right way from the times where things didn't go right, from the screw-ups and the failures. Now, why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's because our failures, if we embrace them, you know, shake us up. They teach us that what we thought we knew was wrong. Mm-hmm. And that is the first step to learning, you know, what's right. And it can lead to sort of whole new worlds. I think about when I first introduced Sam Adams Boston Lager in 1984. There were five beer distributors in Boston. All of them turned me down. I mean, that was about as abject a failure as you can have. But from that, I thought, all right, screw them. I'm going to go sell my beer from bar to bar. I'm going to put cold beer in my briefcase, and I'm going to learn to be a beer salesman. And then I'm going to learn to deliver it,
yeah,
first out of my station wagon, and then I rented a little truck. And those were really liberating experiences that taught me a lot about the beer business that I wouldn't have known had I been more successful.
Yeah. Well, we are talking to Jim Cook. He is the founder and brewer of Samuel Adams and of Boston Beer Company. We're talking about his new book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. And Jim, I just got a tweet here from Joseph Blumenfeld who said, Jim Cook from Sam Adams Beer has started happy hour on Radio Boston. Magna has the best job in the world. And Joseph, I would tend to agree. Okay, I got 12 minutes here. I think I can do this in the last 12 minutes. You got a Sam Adams summer there?
I do.
Okay.
That's our seasonal
beer. I'll have a wee sip of Sam Adams Summer.
I like
it as a summer beer. While you do that for me, I'm going to take a call here, too, okay?
Sure.
Cheryl's calling from Rehoboth. You're on the air, Cheryl.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for taking my call. My son is studying brewing beer, and if you want to pursue the dream someday, what percentage of your know-how comes from the beer brewing process, and what percentage from the business side?
You know, I would say 3/4 from the beer brewing, because if you make a really great, special beer consistently, you're going to get people to drink it. And so you're going to have a success as a brewer, and you're going to have a happy life.
It's a good, simple formula. I like it. Cheryl, thank you so much for your call. Let's turn to Bill, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Bill.
Hi. I wanted to ask not so much what you learned as CEO of Boston Beer, but what you learned before there. Was this your first brewery? Was this your first company? How did you get the starting of a brewery?
Sure. It was my first all of those things. But you have to sort of recognize what it was like in 1984 to start Sam Adams. There was no craft beer movement. The term hadn't even been invented. You know, I started as a home brewer. I made the first batches in my kitchen, and the whole company was just me, and then me and Rhonda for almost the first year. So starting Boston Beer Company, I mean, it seems like a big deal now, but back then, this was very, very small. We were in 30 bars in the entire galaxy. That was our little world when we started. And so I had, you know, 32 years to learn how to run Boston Beer Company.
Well, you also had some business sense, too. Harvard, JD, and MBA? Is that right? And then you worked for, was it Bain that you went to work for after that?
Actually,
no. Boston Consulting. That's it.
Yes.
I get my B's confused. I haven't even started having the beer yet, by the way, everyone. I'm still
Yeah, you'll
pre-beer.
Be more lucid after you have a sip of beer. Everything will become very clear to you.
Well, so in the book, you also have another chapter titled Take the Giant Turds in Stride. What is that all about?
Well, you know, Quench Your Own Thirst is a sort of unconventional business book because it really, you know, talks about my experiences and then the lessons I got from them. And that actually happened. You know, it's kind of gross to talk about it, but there was one of our first truck drivers who was probably pilfering beer from us. And, you know, I was naive. I didn't think people did that. And then I finally figured it out. And so I fired him. But I wasn't smart enough to, like, get his keys or anything like that. And we had this one, you know, little office. It was in the attic of the building at the corner of Clarendon Street and Newbury Street. It was the old servants' quarters. So it had no air conditioning. I had a desk, which was a piece of plywood on a claw-footed bathtub. So I had to leave if somebody had to use the bathtub. But there were, you know, at that point, I think we were four people. So it wasn't that big a deal. And when I fired one of them, we went down to three, but he had his keys. So he decided to give his opinion of my business decision
by, in a very literal sense.
Yes, oh, by leaving a deposit, shall we say, on the desk.
All the people in the control room are like putting their hands up to their faces saying, no!
Yes.
Why did you ask him to tell this story?
Well,
but
as
we're all,
they
we have
say,
something to learn here.
You know, expletive deleted happens.
Yeah.
So you just have to take it in stride.
And move on.
Have a sense of humor about it. And now you've at least got a good story.
All right. Well, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Your chance to talk to Jim Cook, founder of the Boston Brewing Company, maker of Sam Adams Boston Lager and many other beers. Largest craft brewer in America right now. We've got some questions for you about that in a second, Jim. But let's turn to Phil, who's calling from Burlington. You're on the air, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Mr. Cook. I'm a huge fan. I just want to know what happened to Sam Black. It was my favorite beer, and it disappeared.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite beers, too. And it'll probably come back. Because, you know, we like to brew different styles. The Black Lager was this really wonderful dark beer because it didn't have that burnt note in it. We used very lightly roasted malt. So instead of having the astringency that comes from most dark beers, it had more like mocha kind of character. And it'll come back. Just be patient.
Now, would you talk so lovingly, Jim Cook, about the one beer that you brought that I see here on the table, the Rebel Raw, the double IPA?
Yes.
Would you talk so lovingly about such a hoppy beer?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think you loved IPAs as much as you liked other beers.
I don't like any particular beer better than anything else. I mean, my dad used to say, Jim, all beer is good. And some beer is better, but all beer is good. And to be honest, my favorite is still Sam Adams Boston Lager, the original. But there have been a lot of really good developments in the last 5 to 8 years in American hops. So America now has some really wonderful hops that weren't really available 10 years ago. You know, when I started, American hops had this sort of cattiness to them that is something that I'm not a fan of, but we've developed much more fruit-forward hops.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm asking you about it because, I mean, as you know, I've said it a couple times right now in this conversation that Boston Beer Company is the largest craft brewer in the United States, and you are in part largely responsible for the creation of the craft brewing industry in America.
Yeah, so here's the Rebel Raw. See how it's almost hazy hops?
I'm about to offend a lot of people, but I don't love IPAs. I'm not passionate about them.
You're young. You know, your taste can develop and mature.
But it's the young people who love the IPA.
Yeah, well,
so that's what I was going to ask you. There are a lot of craft brewers now, small craft brewers, who say that Boston Beer Company and Sam Adams is late to the game here.
We made our first IPA in, I think, 1995 or 96. So we've been making IPAs for 20 years. So probably not actually true, though, you know, we've had big success with Sam Adams Rebel. Mm-hmm. And that really put us on the IPA map, but we've been making IPAs for quite a long time.
Yeah, well, but I'm looking at an article here from Boston Magazine. It quotes some younger brewers who, like, some, for example, Daniel Lanigan, owner of the beer bar Lord Hobo in Cambridge, says I just never considered Sam Adams beers to be world class and decided not to sell them. Are you running into a lot more of that with the really small batch craft brewers that are now a bigger part of the beer scene than they were 10 or 15 years ago?
Well, Sam Adams has for 30 years been probably the most innovative craft brewer with lots of, you know, beers and techniques. Now there's 5,000 craft brewers, so there's an enormous amount of innovation. But even today, I brought another beer. This
the
is
Nitro.
A Nitro IPA. It's the only Nitro IPA out there, and we actually we had to bring these cans. It's in a can. We take the carbonation out of beer and replace it with nitrogen, which is this whole new white space now in craft brewing, and it transforms the flavor and even the beer experience. When you open it, you'll hear it even a different pop.
Whoa.
And then you pour it straight into the glass from the can. It's got this nitrogenator in the bottom of the can, and you'll see all of this drama in the glass. You see like this storm and the bubbles going down and all this sort of theater. And then when you drink an IPA that is on nitro, it comes across as smooth and creamy. So one of these IPAs you're going to like.
Everyone, you can't see this, but Jim Cook keeps pushing these pint glasses of freshly poured beer towards me. And as the professional that I am resisting for the next 3.5 minutes.
You got to do it for the team.
Well, we got a tweet here from Jen Ginn, who says, I love the Rebel Raw Double IPA. So big fan of Rebel Raw there.
She's a serious beer drinker, Jenny is.
Let's turn to Kate, who's calling from Quincy. You're on the air, Kate.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I think beer is more of a male taste. And I wonder if your guest came to like beer because of peer pressure, wasn't it an innate liking, or for some other reason?
That's very easy. I'm actually the sixth oldest son in a row in my family to be a brewer.
So six generations
have been brewers in my family. So my dad was a brewmaster, my grandfather was a brewmaster, my great-grandfather, et cetera. So I actually had my first beer when I was 4. I don't know why my father made me wait so long, but he was very strict German. And I enjoyed it when I was 4 years old. So beer has kind of been in my blood. About a 0.04, so I'm legal, but it's a nice level.
So we got about a minute left to go, Jim. I'm wondering, as the craft brewing industry changes and it's getting more crowded, more attention, more refined now than it's ever been before, what's the lesson or two that, from your long experience, that you seem to be leaning on most often now?
Well, it's probably two themes that were noticeable to me after I wrote Quench Your Own Thirst. One was that we had succeeded as a craft brewer by, staying close to our original values, the values that we started with around, you know, making great beer and working our butts off to sell it. And making sure the beer got to people fresh so that they got the taste that, you know, as a brewer I wanted to put in their mouth. And then the flip side of it was constantly innovating. Mm. My view of life is the status quo sucks. The status quo only exists because we haven't figured out how to improve it. So, you know, even today, after 32 years, we're still innovating with things like Rebel Raw or Nitro IPA.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Well, Jim Cook, he's founder and brewer of Samuel Adams, founder of Boston Beer Company. His new book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Jim, it's been great to have you back on the show. Thank you so very much.
Oh, it's nice drinking with you.
In about 20 seconds.
The best bar on Com Ave.
I don't drink on duty, but we've got 20 seconds here before I'm off duty, and then I'll take a sip. That's it for today, everyone. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday for more Radio Boston.